The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:6, and this is very interesting, it says, so be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead. If I said to you right now, the best is yet to come, well, you and I would be like, yes, the best is yet to come. There's joy ahead. There's great things in store for 2020. Then he continues, even though you must endure many trials before. He's saying, listen, there is joy ahead. The best is yet to come, but there are going to be bumps along the way. There are going to be trials. There are going to be confusing moments. There are going to be times where you need clarity. There are going to be times where you don't understand. There are going to be the moments where you go, why, God, is this happening to me? There are going to be the moments in 2020 where you question your faith, but don't abandon it. Don't bail out. There's joy ahead. The best is yet to come, but you will have to go through certain things in 2020 that you did not expect, you did not ask for. People are still going to be people, which is weird, strange, wacky, right? Anybody? You have friends? Family specifically? All right. You just saw them, right, at Christmas. You know what wacky is, all right? So there are going to be those things that happen. And you and I get to respond to those things. You have to remember that the best is yet to come. You have to remember there's joy ahead. Because if you forget that, you'll fall into the crazy. If you forget, if I told you right now, there's joy ahead, the best is yet to come, and I fluffed it up, and I said, oh man, 2020 is going to be great, and I don't tell you there's going to be trials, then I'm doing you a disservice. There are going to be hiccups. There are going to be tough times. Deuteronomy chapter 1, a passage that I lean into. These are the words that Moses spoke to all the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness. Some of you, you feel like you're in a wilderness. And this is what the Lord would say to you today. They're in the Jordan Valley. And normally it only takes 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh. But 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel. And this is what he says. When we are at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and move on. He tells them where to go. And then he says this, look, I am giving all of this land to you. Go in and occupy it, for it is the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to all their descendants. Here's what he's saying. He's saying to this group of people, he's saying, listen, you've been where you're at long enough. It's time for you to grow up. He says, listen, it should have taken 11 days for you to get from A to B, but you've been here 40 years. Get out of my basement. Stop being immature. Stop saying the same things over and over and over again. The Lord is saying today, enough is enough. It's time to cross over. It's time to allow him to kick you in the pants. It's time to end the relationships that are draining you. It's time to walk away. It's time to forget, to forgive, but it does not mean that you trust instantly. It's time to walk away from this draining relationship that you have. It's time for you to cross over and get out of the job that you are currently living in. But that doesn't mean everybody. So again, don't get in your car and say to your spouse, I told you, it's time for me to quit. Don't misquote me. You got to figure that out on your own. Don't misquote me. And I would say this. I think this is a rule of thumb every time you come to church. Don't get in the car and say it was for someone else. Don't get in the car and look at your husband and go, that was for you. And don't later on, when your kid's being a tool, look at him and say, did you not listen this morning? Because there's plenty of times you don't listen either, okay? In fact, they're probably not listening because there's a moment when you didn't listen, okay? So don't do that. What is the Lord saying to you in this moment, right now? It's time for you to cross over. And do you hear the frustration in the Lord's voice? He's like, my goodness, how long are you going to stay in this moment? And here's the other thing that I want you to see. This was not the first time the Lord spoke to this group of people at this location. This location meant failure. This location meant a time of that was weary, a time where people failed, a time where people messed up. And he came to them where they failed and said, it's time to get up. It's time to move on. It's time to cross over. I do love that the Lord used the word camp in there. To all my people that love camping, it's time to break camp and move on. And this is what I thought about. What does it mean to break camp? Like, what does that mean? To break camp and move on. Breaking camp means clearing out your tent. Breaking camp means pulling up the pegs that secured your tent. Now, I know that you and I don't always understand this because we're glampers, not campers. Where are my glampers at? I see you. I see you. Where are my tent campers at? Yeah, you're really campers. You are true campers. Everybody else, you're faking it. You're living in a double wide with wheels on it that you pull behind your truck. Anyway, packing the tent, and I do too. If there's not a mint on my pillow, it's not camping. Just throwing that out there. That's why I make Lila go in and put a mint on my pillow. It's putting water on the campfire. This is what breaking camp is. It's leaving the campsite behind. He said, it's time to break camp and move on. And then he says, in order to do that, you have to say no to one and move on and move over. So you're saying no to something and yes, I'm committing to something else. So he's like, listen, this is what leaving camp is. I'm leaving this and I'm adding this. Hear what I'm saying to you. For you to experience more in your life, you have to get rid of some of the things that you've carried in 2019. You cannot carry them into 2020 and expect 2020 to be different. You just can't. It's not humanly possible for you to do so. In fact, you're physically drained today because you're spiritually carrying things you were never intended to carry. And you're trying to take that in 2020 and you're praying God gives you more in 2020 and it's impossible for him to do that. Not because God is not capable, but because you won't break camp and move on. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must do what? You must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? So here's the end of the year message. You cannot do this by yourself. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I have a friend of mine who I admire, who I look up to, who I feel is a spiritually, he's a giant, great man of God, but he said something to me that I thought was very interesting. And it caused me to wonder. It caused me to question. It caused me to take a little bit of responsibility as to how I personally have failed him. And he made this statement. He said, not only do I not do teaching or hear teaching on fasting, I don't fast. To which made me really question a couple things. Do we not do enough teaching on fasting? Do we not do enough teaching on praying that we understand that for me to pack up and to cross over, I have to eliminate some things in my life, which is fasting. Fasting defined is I'm letting go of this, something I admire, something I love, something I seem as necessary, and I give that up so that I can give more time to the Lord. So if you're in this room and you've never fasted and you don't do devotions or you don't pray, it's real simple. You say, like, I'm going to give up a morning cup of coffee because I love that coffee. I drink that coffee every morning. That's how I wake up. And instead of drinking that coffee, I'm going to read a verse in the Bible. And I'm going to meditate on that verse. That would be fasting. Okay? Because Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast, which to me is an expectation as followers of Jesus, people who have denied themselves. And then later in Matthew 17, this is what he says. And I'll read this ahead of time so that we get the context. He says, a guy came to him and said his son was suffering. He says, I brought my kid that was suffering to Jesus, and the disciples couldn't do anything with it. And then Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? Why could we not do what you do? Because Jesus has already made the claim, there's greater things that you'll do on the earth than I've ever done because I go to the Father. So you and I should be doing greater. Now the disciples have come to this place and they're like, we could not see this deliverance happen. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, and this is a scripture we use all the time. It's on a lot of like gadgets and pictures and all these things, probably a weight on your desk. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, and it'll go from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And then Jesus adds, however, this is the key, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. He's saying, listen, you want to cross over? You can hope you cross over. You could declare it all day long. You put it as every social status you want. You could write it on a board. You could write it on a mirror. You can say, this is my year of crossing over. This is my year of packing up my tent. This is my year of new things. This is 2020. This is all great. It's not going to happen except by prayer and fasting. It's just not going to happen. And we're going to come back to Jesus and we're going to go, Jesus, I feel like I'm in the exact same spot. I feel like I haven't moved. It's December 31st, 2020. I feel like I've gotten nowhere. And Jesus is coming back and going, yeah, because that kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, I want us to see this because this is where we get super spiritual. Super spiritual in the sense of like, oh, I fast and I lose a lot of weight. Fasting without praying is dieting. Okay? We become real spiritual giants. We're like, I'm totally fasting January 1, 2020. No, you're not. You're on Whole 30. And that's... I didn't slip, Liam. Anyway, so... And we over-spiritualize it. We're like, yes, I'm fasting. Listen, fasting without praying is dieting. And Jesus said specifically, you want to see mountains move in your life? You want to see greater things? You want to experience the more that God has for you? You want to truly cross over? You want to truly leave behind the things that have held onto you for generations? 40 years. A generation left Egypt, and for 40 years they wandered. There will always be something that the generation before me did that I need to pick up and I need to carry out. They missed it. My generation will miss it. The next generation, it better pick it up, because there will always be something that one generation does that we need to fix. We're going to need to be better at. And that's why we speak to generations and we go, listen, you dropped the ball. Don't take it wrong. The next generation, you better pick it up. This is who he's talking to. He's going, listen, your fathers, they wandered in the desert. Wandering, wandering, wandering. I don't want to see that happen for you. And because I don't want to see that happen for you, I want to see you cross over into the promise that I made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, every descendant you have. I want to see mountains move in your life. I want to see these great things happen. But that will only happen by prayer and fasting. And when we become a group of people that pray and fast, listen, I'm not telling you something easy today. It's difficult. It's difficult. What you've been through is difficult. What you've experienced is difficult. Listen, if you're a teenager in this room and you can figure out right now, as a 15, 16, 17-year-old, how to fast and how to have a steady relationship with the Lord in fasting and prayer. Meaning I'm giving up something so that I can get more of God. And now all of a sudden you're a 35, 40-year-old person. You're not dealing with what the generation before dealt with who wasn't fasting and praying. You're not dealing with those things. Why? Because you've moved past that. You've matured past that. We don't talk about maturity because we are so consumed by people's feelings. Like if I talk about people not maturing, I'm going to offend somebody. And if I offend somebody, they're not going to get a ribbon. And if they don't get a participation ribbon, then their mom and dad and grandparents who came and watched and took pictures and all that are going to be really upset. Here's the bottom line. Everybody's not getting a flipping ribbon. We are so consumed by that that we're missing Jesus. We're missing crossing over. We're missing, and now we're where we are, at the age we are, going, why am I still here? Again, I can't overemphasize that he said it should have taken 11 days. It's now 40 years later in the 11th month, and we're still here. We're still here. I don't want to be known as the church who's still here. I want us to be known as the church that is constantly moving, constantly crossing over, constantly walking into the things that God has. And guess what? The people that want to move will move. And the people that don't will stay still. And in staying still, they'll be yelling things like, hey, what are you guys doing over there? And we're going to go, we're moving past because we're tired of being here. And you're going to be complaining and murmuring because this is what it said. For 40 years, they complained about the green carpet and about the pews and about what time church was and how bad the coffee was, even though it's not bad, and how bad the donuts were. Oh, we didn't even have donuts. They complained all for 40 years. And right now, God goes, enough is enough. It's time to pack up the tent and cross over. Who's with me? That's what he was saying. He's like, who's coming? Who's coming? Because I'm going. And you're either staying here and you're going to die, or you're coming with. And guess what? People died. People didn't go. People said things like, well, we've never done it that way. People said things like, well, when my grandfather was around, he did this, this, and this. Your grandfather also bought a house for $5,000. He walked uphill both ways to school. That doesn't mean we're going to do that. All right? Jesus did a lot of things too. He walked a lot. We're not doing that. We like cars because it's convenient. Right? We can compare all day long. Like, no. At some point, it's stopping us from growing. I don't want 2020 for us to look back and go, we missed it. We missed it. And I've heard this statement, and you guys, I'm gonna let you know, like we can't say this thing, we cannot say this. I kind of miss the days when the church was a little smaller. Join a small group; it's pretty small. Kind of miss the old building. Well, go buy it. I'm sure for the right price you can buy it. I kind of miss, and we're doing all these things. You know what we're really saying? Is I miss how it used to be. This is what they did. This is what they did. They said things like, I like it here. It's comfortable. And next thing you know, it's 40 years. And I believe Jesus' words when Jesus said, listen, you want to see this mountain move? Go from here to there. Check your faith. And it will only be moved by prayer and fasting. How do you forgive? Only by prayer and fasting. How do you love the way Jesus loves? Only by prayer and fasting. It's a miracle, you guys. It's a miracle to love people. Anybody? It is a miracle to love people. It is a miracle. I love saying miracle. I get made fun of for saying that. That's why I say it a lot. It is an absolute supernatural thing to love people like Jesus. In fact, I would say without prayer and fasting, there's no way you could do it. There's a pastor in South Korea that probably you've never heard about, Pastor Cho, and he pastors the largest church in the world. 850,000 people attend his church. And this is how they do counseling, legit. This is how they do counseling. If you come in to his, probably bunch of pastors, but they have this statement. If you come in and say, me and my family are fighting, or I have this need, here's his response. Take the next 3 days and go pray and fast. And then come back when it's done. So if after 3 days they come back and say, Pastor, we prayed and we fasted, and we still feel like it's an issue, he'll say, go back and do it for a week. They literally say they do not counsel at their church. Their counseling is, when you are done praying and fasting, we can chat about it, we'll talk about it, but that should be, always be, the first thing that you do. When you have an issue, it says when David mourned over his own sin, first thing he did, he prayed and he fasted. When he was repentant, he prayed and he fasted. Why? Because he needed that hole that he had in his relationship with the Lord to be filled, and it only happens by prayer and fasting. This is it. You have problems in your house, pray and fast for your house. Give up something, spend time with the Lord about that need. If you are tired of being single and you want a man, instead of being on every dang website there is, pray and fast for that man. Oh, I know, that's not super popular, especially with the social networks. You know why that doesn't happen? Because you and I don't live in a culture of prayer and fasting. Why? We set the culture. We set the tone. We determine. We are the church. We decide what happens. We decide what we're known for. We decide how we move forward. We decide whether we cross over or not. And the only way is not me declaring us to cross over. The only way that you and I can cross over is by prayer and fasting. Because I'm telling you right now, if I don't pray and fast about it, I will be way too comfortable. I'll be way too comfortable. I'll stay where I'm at. I will be a 43-year-old person who stayed immature, which that's questionable already, who stayed stunted in his growth, never grew past, oh, that's questionable as well. I'm not talking. Stayed, never matured. Why? Because we never wanted to move past that. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It is time to cross over. And you and I get to decide what that looks like. Some of you, you have dreams inside of you that have died. They died in 2019 or they died in 2016. It's time to awaken those dreams. And the only way that those dreams get awakened is by prayer and fasting. Some of you, you want to experience God in a new way, a new tangible way. You want to go deeper in your walk with Him. It's by prayer and fasting. Right now, if you're on our email list at 11:30, you got an email from me. And it's tangible ways of what fasting looks like, the purpose of fasting, why we fast, what does it look like? And again, this is my prayer for you, that you decide what it is that you're fasting. But I'm asking the church, people who call Life Community Church their home, for the next 31 days to fast. Again, I ask you to pray about that. I don't want you to fast something that your husband or wife is fasting, okay? We're at different places. We're at different walks. I don't want us to copy what somebody else is doing. I want us to genuinely be real in our fasting. I don't want us to be people who go, well, I'm a vegetarian, so I'm fasting meat. No, you're not. No, you're not. Well, I don't drink soda, so I'm going to fast soda. No, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider, what is the Lord asking you to give up for 31 days? Some of you, you have a culture of fasting and prayer. I'm asking you to take it up a notch. Because we need to hear God more. And because of that, we have to give up. There has to be a self-denial that happens. Okay? Again, I'm asking you to not be spiritually emotional about this. Don't in this moment go, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the next 31 days. I'm asking you to pray. Because I know how we get. We get excited about something. We're like, I'm in. And we're like, whoa, you're a diabetic. You can't do that. Okay? So I'm asking you to use some common sense stuff as well. And then I'm asking you to add prayer to that. I'm asking you to join me Wednesday night, January 1st. Okay? We've done this from day one as a church. We're the first day of the year we gather together and we pray. It's a night of worship. It's a time of prayer. It's a time where we hear God's voice for what he wants in 2020. I encourage you, I challenge you to be there. But again, for the next 31 days, I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to fast for what the Lord wants to do in 2020. Amen? Would you stand with me? I ask these guys if they would sing this song as we close out 2019 as a declaration heading into 2020. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. But it is a declaration, and it says this, your name is victory. See, I believe in this room, the Bible says that you and I, we are more than conquerors through Christ. You and I are more than conquerors. There's something right now that you're battling, and the Lord wants you to know he is victory. He has gone before you. You are more than conquerors today. That whatever is in front of you, the Lord is with you. He is with you, and he is victorious. Listen, in any other scenario, if I told you this is how it was going to end, you would go, I'm on board. I'm just telling you, in the end, you and I were victorious. There's joy ahead. There is triumph ahead. But listen, there are some battles to be won in the meantime. And we get to be part of those battles. We get to see God's faithfulness through those battles. Some of us, 2019 was a challenging year. We went through some battles. You went through a struggle. I just want you to know this first and foremost. You're here. You're standing. You're breathing. Which is proof that God is faithful. You're better because of what happened in 2019. He is victorious. And because he's victorious, you and I are victorious. God, thank you for every person in this room. God, I thank you that your plans are real. Plans not to harm. Plans to give us a hope and a future. Plans that you go before us. That you are for us and not against us. God, we need your help. I just pray as we sing this song, God, you are speaking to us on what it is that you're saying to us for 2020. A lot of us in this room, we have words for 2020. God, I pray that we would be in tune to hear your voice more than we ever have. God, that we would walk with you as you order our steps. God, that we would know who we are as sons and daughters. God, would you help us today as we declare this over our lives, our families, and Jesus.